Welcome to this edition of More Talk, a Medacta USA podcast dedicated to continuing education, selling tools, and calendar updates of coming events. Every edition of this podcast is brought to you by the team at the More Institute, where our mission is to provide continuing clinical education support to medical and sales professionals the world over.
Hey everybody, I'm Matt DeLong, and I want to thank you for spending a few minutes with us for this post-More Symposium edition of More Talk. Our goal remains to focus on and reinforce our commitment to education and communication through the More Institute, as well as our training arm, and that's the Medacta Academy. That's what we're trying to do with this podcast, and we hope you're enjoying it. Before diving into this month's content, we want to take a moment and thank all those who made the first More Americas Symposium a success. From the exceptional program that was organized by our chairman, and those guys are Dr. John Masanis, Dr. David Manning, Dr. Tyler Goldberg, Dr. Paul Bulet, and Dr. Michael Sook, to our team here at Medacta USA, the execution was spectacular, whether it was in the product areas or out in the mobile lab. And of course, those efforts were spearheaded by Amanda Earle, Brian Emmerich, Stacy Cleary, Brian Parker, Dave Conley, Adam Hawkins, and Daniel Limina. We feel like we absolutely put our best foot forward in representing the vision of Medacta. We also want to thank each of you, the Medacta sales force, for your continued support and use of our education as a sales weapon, right? We hosted well over 100 surgeons in Montreal, and those of you who were fortunate enough to have key accounts attend that course can attest to the potential impact of each of the sessions, as well as the clinical support that was provided out in the mobile lab. So thanks to all you for the investment in all of our futures. We sincerely appreciate your efforts and look forward to more opportunities in the future that go beyond that. But well done to everybody, and thanks once again. And now, let's get on with the podcast. So on this month's podcast, we're going to listen in on a conversation with the HIP team's Brian Parker and Dr. Ed Stolarski of Sarasota, Florida. Now, Dr. Stolarski is one of the designers of the MasterLock HIP system, and he's going to share several key insights concerning the clinical rationale behind the MasterLock Lateralize Plus option. We're also going to be joined by Dave Bozeman, Medacta USA's Manager of Market Development, who's going to share several helpful tips concerning case prep, sure to be a great reminder to sales associates, both experienced and those just starting out. Finally, Adam Hawkins is going to join us for an update concerning the launch of the Medacta Shoulder System. Lots of great content this month, so let's get started.
I'm here with Dr. Ed Stolarski, one of our designing surgeons of the MasterLock HIP system. Welcome to the More Talk podcast, Dr. Stolarski.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
Well, we're glad you're here with us. Could you explain how the restoration of femoral offset is critical to total hip replacement when it comes to patient outcomes?
Well, let me tell you, it all goes to patients' expectations following a total hip replacement. Back in the day, when I was training, patients just want to be able to walk. They understood they were going to have significant limitations with range of motion, concern for instability, and leg lengths. We were doing them through a posterior approach. There's a lot of guesswork. It's completely changed. We still, as the surgeon, are obligated to clinically make the decision when a patient, help a patient make the decision of when they should have a hip replaced. And then we manage their expectations. It's become increasingly more demanding. They want to return to a pain-free lifestyle, no limitations, equal leg lengths, no instability, and meeting these expectations are dependent on the approach as well as the reestablishment of the patient's native biomechanics. Patients' leg lengths and offset should not be at the mercy of limited stem options, including the offset.
You have a lot of experience with flat tapered wedge stems. Why do you prefer this type of stem?
Flat taper wedge stems answer all of my needs. I've been using them almost exclusively for the last 20 years. Why? Reproducible long-term results. Oftentimes, 90% survival, 99% survival rate at 30 years. So I can't ask for better longevity. I don't have a fear in using it in any type bone, from the young cortical 15-year-old patient up to the capacious canal of a 94-year-old. Very reproducible. In a revision situation, for whatever reason, it's a stem that allows me to preserve patient's anatomy without doing a significant amount of bony destruction. So I like it from the beginning, from the way we implant it to the way it sits, to the reproducibility of the patient's biomechanics, and God forbid when we have to revise it, it's not a catastrophe.
Tell us about your early experience with the MasterLock hip system.
Well, I'll tell you, I like the scratch fit of the MectaGrip. It provides very accurate seating. And what I mean by that, having used a variety of flat wedge taper stems, I've always been challenged with the broach stem and implant mismatch. So, you know, you struggle to be as accurate as you can, you broach, you trial, you're happy, and then you implant and you sit up a centimeter proud. Very common in harder bone and younger people. So you've had to accommodate. You would just drop down a stem almost incidentally and hope that you're at the right height with your implant. With the MasterLock, I don't have that issue ever. When I broach appropriately, meaning I'm getting cortical contact medial and laterally, and then I put the true implant in. If it in the hardest of bone, it may sit 2 millimeters and almost universally sits where I want it to sit with the broach. And it's important because if I drop down a stem to accommodate this mismatch, how do I know I'm not undersiding? I'm not going to have subsidence. So it's concerning. Or am I going to break a femur, which I don't know. Oh, it's supposed to go down another centimeter. Let me just keep hitting it. And that's a problem. Matter of fact, that was a recommendation by one of my DePew reps when the TriLock wouldn't go down. Just hit it harder. I don't think we want to do that. So that's been completely eliminated with the accuracy of the broach and the stem. The other concern I have with the other taper wedge stems on the market is the distal potting or getting distal fixation prior to proximal fixation. And I haven't had that with the MasterLock at all. I've never had, again, even in the tightest of bone, had to take a reamer and open them up distally. That just be maybe my experience, but I've done quite a few of them and I've hadn't had to do that. I've also seen no revisions because of distal potting, and I haven't seen any cortical hypertrophy that I've seen with other implants that'll grab distally and shield the proximal femur, which is where we need to get the most intimate contact. And then if we talk a little about offset, the standard offset has less offset than any other flat tapered stem. When you go into the Asia market, of course, that's very important. But also the developmental dysplasia with a valgus neck, you're almost universally with any other system going to increase their offset. If I want to increase their offset, I want it to be my choice. I don't want it to be that because that's all, the only thing option I have with the implants. So I often use in small valgus necks, particularly developmental dysplasia, the standard offset. And then if I need to increase their stability, of course, I have the other options at my choosing to increase the offset. I did have concerns early on, and I did see limitations in the MasterLock with the systems when we needed more offset. I would then make a shorter neck cut, use a longer head ball, and to be quite honest, on occasion, I'd have to lengthen somebody for stability, where, boy, if I just had a little bit more offset, that would be optimal. And between us, I would often switch over to the Amis in that situation because it would allow for a little bit more offset. I don't have to worry about that now.
So you mentioned you don't have to worry about that now. As a designing surgeon of MasterLock, you've had the opportunity to use the lateralized plus option for a few months now. You've been able to have that third offset. Can you give us a report on the lat plus offset option?
Well, again, the beautiful thing about the MasterLock, we're going to sit where we cut, or at least sit where we broach. So now we're going to play with offset, and I love it. I can now dial in the offset with three options within an 11 millimeter range without changing leg length. So I don't have to break out a calculator or an iPad to try and figure out how I'm adjusting their leg lengths. No one else offers this. I have the standard offset for smaller patients with less offset. I'm not making my femoral neck cut down into the lesser trochanter. I can have the lateralized option if it's most patients, and I have the lateralized plus options for my patients that need more offset. Intraoperatively, that flexibility is priceless. I am, again, I'm not making accommodations with my implants because of unique anatomy. I'll give you an example. I have a patient, and I don't know if it's me or other surgeons have this problem, but I would say at least 10% of my operative hips, the operative side is longer preoperatively than the contralateral hip, and it's not arthritic on the other side. So that technically poses some significant issues. The average hip is lengthened about 5 or 6 millimeters, and patients, again, we go back to our earlier conversation, will not tolerate that. So with the offset options, let's go for an example. I template a master lock lateralized neck option, make my cut, I put it in, bring in fluoroscopy. Beautiful. I didn't lengthen them. I'm not trying to shorten them. I didn't lengthen them. I left them at their where they were. They're four or five millimeters long. That's where they were pre-op. Uh-oh. Stability's not good enough. Now what? I'm going to lengthen them further. The data shows you go over a centimeter of lengthening, patient's going to they're going to complain. They're going to have a problem with that. So I can then intraoperatively, one, I could go longer, which will technically add more offset, but again, it's going to add the length. Or what do? I take the lateral plus, I add no length. Now we have adequate stability. We have not lengthened them unintentionally or for the, with the needs of stability, and they're going to be happier. And we're only talking 5 millimeters, so this is not going to be a huge trochanteric bursitis generator. So this flexibility makes for a happier patient, and I don't have to just say, oh, well, look at your preoperative films. You were long pre-op. I could say, look, I'm going to do my best not to lengthen you, and these stems are going to allow me to reach that goal. And again, I'm busy because my patients are happy. My patients are happy because I use this stem.
So Dr. Stawarski, do you have any advice for the Medacta USA sales force regarding the MasterLock hip system?
Well, I just wanted to say that the flat tapered wedge stem, regardless of the vendor, is probably the most popular stem that's implanted, particularly in the U.S. today. And all vendors have some limitations. I will tell you, with the MasterLock, you do not. With the three offset options, with the fact that you do not have a broach stem mismatch, that we really pioneered the relationships with our, well, we really pioneered relationships with our surgeons when it comes to teaching the anterior hip and having them become not just aware of it, but proficient at it. This covers all the bases. This is the total package. So there's no reason that this should not become the number one stem in the United States.
Dr. Stawarski operates in Sarasota, Florida, and is a Medacta Reference Center for visiting surgeons. He uses the direct anterior approach without a table for his primary hip replacement cases. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Stawarski.
I want to thank you for having me. This is an incredibly exciting time for Medacta, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Thanks for a great overview, guys. Remember, you and your key accounts can visit Dr. Stawarski in Sarasota anytime. Contact Amanda Earle and Brian Emmerich to arrange a visit today. As many of you are aware, Medacta USA is absolutely honored to be supported by the efforts of Dave Bozeman, Buzz Van Arsdale, and Dave Ziegler from the Market Development Team. This trio of industry veterans stands ready to come into your areas and support all of your OR product needs when you or your accounts are transitioning to Medacta. Along the way, as you might imagine, they've picked up a thing or two worth sharing. Today, Dave Bozeman will share a few tips with you, reinforcing the importance of sticking to the fundamentals when servicing your accounts.
Hi, everybody. Dave Bozeman here with the Market Development Manager Team. There are so many great things going on at Medacta these days, and we're all looking forward to starting up a lot of new business this year. So let's talk about some things you can do before your first cases to make sure they go as best as they possibly can and convert your surgeons. You've been calling on your surgeon for some time, and the big day has finally arrived. You just got called for a case. You know, we all know to ask for the basics. Is it a hip, knee, shoulder? When, where, what time, what side, male, female? Are they using patient match technology? Do they need an Amis table? And here's a good one for you. What implants? You're just confirming you'll have the right system for the case. And it's just like why the surgeon signs an operative site, to avoid mistakes. Here's a list of things you'll want to check off in the background. Are you on the credentialing system for the hospital? Have you gotten Medacta pricing approved at the hospital? And is it loaded in our system? Have you sent in a completed new hospital setup form if you need to, and a new surgeon form? If it's a MyKnee case, have you set up your surgeon on the MyKnee website? Have you studied the product you're using and the surgical technique, and are you comfortable? Will you need help for the case from your market development manager? If so, try to let Dave, Buzz, or Dave Ziegler know ahead of time and clear it with your AD. Are you working out of consignment, or will you be using loaners? If you're using loaners, the earlier you can get your request form in, the better. You know, I always like to get them in early and beat the last minute rush. Is there anything extra you might need to order? Perhaps an extra drill bit if you're doing a two-hole cup on a hip case, just in case a drill bit breaks. Or some extra pins for a MyKnee case. If the hospital will pay for disposable pin sets, did you order those? If it's a hip, will you need an Amish table? Did you get that ordered? And here's some steps that we see the pros take. Get an in-service set up with the hospital staff. You always want to make sure that they're as comfortable with your system as possible so everything goes smooth. Are there things that they will need in addition to your trays? Thinking of peripherals such as an aquamantis or having a caliper for measuring a femoral head on a hip or special retractors makes you a great resource for the team. They'll also share with you key needs that your surgeon may have and things he likes in surgery. Man, that's powerful stuff. And most importantly, set up a meeting with your surgeon to review the instruments prior to the case. Even if they've already been to a reference center or a learning center, the offer of a quick review the day before the case helps set you and your surgeon up for success. It also offers you the opportunity to make sure that you know any key needs that your surgeon has, like a powered corkscrew or what type of pins they use for pinning a 4-in-1 on a knee. It also gives you a great opportunity to template the case to have your surgeon tell you about his plans for the patient. Your surgeon will tell you everything you need to know to make their first case a great one, even the steps in order of how they're going to do the procedure. Make sure and go through everything that you get for the case at least a day or two ahead. Look over all your instruments. Make sure they're complete and in working order. Open and count all your implants, making sure you have everything. If you're missing anything, you'll have time to recover and get what you need. Don't assume everything is there. Imagine how you'd feel if you were short something that was needed during surgery. It happens. So it's the day before the case and you're putting your instruments into SPD for processing, or the day before, depending on the hospital. Now's a good time to double check yourself on your implants. Believe me, if you do that, you'll save yourself waking up at 3 a.m. the night before the case and wondering if you actually had that size 3 stem or that size 4 femur, and the implants for the case are the correct side, right or left. Want to add a really nice touch? Text, email, or call your surgeon and let them know everything is ready for your case tomorrow. You'll be amazed how nicely they react to that, because you're letting them know they can sleep tonight. You've taken care of everything. I bet their competitive rep doesn't do that anymore. The day of the case is finally here and it's showtime. You get to the OR early. You make sure your trays are ready to go outside the OR. You get your implants on a cart ready for the case. Touch base with the scrub team, who you already met at the in-service, and cover any last-minute details. Caliper is handy, retractors needed are there, and so on and so forth. The circulator will love it if you hand him or her your business card to identify yourself. It's their room and also saves them having to ask for your name during the surgery for notes. Now you go find your surgeon to talk about the case and review with them who's on their team, that your trays are ready and your implants are here, because that's how you roll. So who do you call if you need help with any of this? The short answer is anyone here at Medacta will help you. The best answer is to call your distributor, regional sales manager, or your AD. Utilize customer service, or feel free to call your market development managers, Dave in the East, Buzz in the West, and Dave Ziegler on shoulders. Good selling and great cases, everyone.
Thanks, Dave. We want everyone to remember the high level of product support that Dave, Buzz, and Dave bring to our growing family. Whether you're looking to prepare for a pretty complex revision knee, or you simply want help getting up to speed for your first shoulder cases, just remember that the market development team are here to serve you, so reach out to them when you need. I'm pretty sure you'll be glad you did. To say there were a lot of moving parts to Medacta USA's first quarter would be a pretty big understatement. True to form, our team is going to keep things rolling again this month. Let's take a look at the calendar of events. Get your targets organized and enrolled at one of the multiple more learning centers coming up this summer. These sessions would include an Amis and Sphere-based learning center being held May 18 and 19, and again on June 22 and 23, at the Chicago Learning Center site in Park Ridge, Illinois. As always, we're going to provide a world-class faculty at this hip and knee course, so get on the horn with Brian Emmerich and Stacy Cleary with any questions and get your doctors registered. Continuing along those lines, we're following a great start to our Moto Learning Centers in Tampa and Denver. We're going to be gathering again for a Moto Focus course on June 15 and 16 in Atlanta. And once again, Brian Emmerich and Stacy Cleary can get you all the details that you need and get your surgeons registered for those key events. Finally, start your planning for the San Diego Shoulder course, which is going to be held June 20 to 23. Medacta is going to have a mobile lab at this course and provide hands-on learning opportunities with the Medacta shoulder system. Find out if your shoulder target accounts will be in attendance, and if so, reach out to Adam Hawkins now to arrange a visit with us. Your area directors are going to be working with all of you to organize further over the next couple months, but the time to plan is now. I also want to refer you to a field communication that's going to be sent out, and we're going to send a pre-registration list of all of the shoulder doctors attending the San Diego Shoulder course. Make sure you review that list, and if you have a potential opportunity, a potential surgeon attending that meeting, please do all you can to facilitate an introduction. We're going to have an awesome team there to support the introduction of the Medacta shoulder system. All right, that's it for now. We're going to be back next month with more. Moving on, Adam Hawkins will now join us to provide an update concerning the Medacta shoulder system. There's been some movement that will impact the timing and availability of the anatomic version as well as the threaded base plate currently under evaluation. Let's let Adam fill us in with this quick review of our status.
Greetings, Medacta sales team. This is Adam Hawkins with another shoulder update. We're into the second quarter of the year, and the shoulder system is coming. Unfortunately, a little slower than any of us would like. I've received updated timelines regarding set allocation, and they are as follows. We will receive 10 reverse sets in May, as well as 10 additional short-stem humeral trays. In June, we'll receive 25 reverse sets and 20 more of the short-stem iteration. The anatomic system is going through a variety of updates and is going to push back our allocation into the late July and August timeframe. We'll get 23 sets in that first month. Our threaded base plate implants and instruments are also expected to arrive in August. We've also set learning center dates, and they are as follows. Thursday, June 21st, we'll be at the San Diego Shoulder Meeting with a lab park two blocks away from the convention center. We'll have both U.S. designers available throughout the day for lab sessions as well as time slots for the Meet the Expert dinners. Our conventional learning centers will be on the following dates. On July 27th and 28th, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois. On September 14th and 15th in Phoenix, Arizona. On October 19th and 20th, we'll be back in Chicago. And on November 30th and December 1st, we'll be in Tampa, Florida. I'm looking very forward to the coming weeks and months, and as always, feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions.
Thanks for the update, Adam. And thanks to all of you for joining us for this month's More Talk. Feedback so far has been really appreciated, so please don't be shy about letting us know how we might design the content to suit your needs going forward. We're going to be back next month following up on multiple items as we continue to gain speed from the momentum gained in Montreal and prepare for a strong summer. For all of us here at Medacta USA, this is Matt DeLong, and I want to thank you for your attention today. We'll see you next time on More Talk.
More Talk was brought to you by the team at the Moore Institute. Please look for more communication from the team at Medacta USA via email throughout the month. And don't forget to log in to the Medacta Intranet, your all-access pass to valuable product and educational materials. We'll talk more soon.